Brett Favre is being inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame this weekend, and the start of training camp is less than 2 weeks away. To get us ready, we'll be joined by Packers rookie linebacker James Waters. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Fans, welcome to Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Carvu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We'll be talking about the induction of Brett Favre into the Packers Hall of Fame in a little bit. But first, to kick off the show, with training camp just a few short days away, we have a guest joining us on the phone.
Expert interview.
We have rookie linebacker James Waters of the Green Bay Packers joining us. Mr. Waters, how you doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you?
Very good. We're glad you could join us. How's your summer been going, and where have you been spending your time? Are you in Green Bay? Are you back home?
No, I've been in Atlanta spending a lot of time just lifting and training. And staying in really good shape.
Well, that's good to hear. Packers fans like to hear that you'll be staying in shape, because one of the few things that Packers fans know about you right now, and hopefully they learn more, but you're the guy that had to miss OTAs because of the NFL rules require that you had to complete your graduation at Stanford. Do you at all feel behind the eight ball because you missed kind of some of that off-season practice time?
I wouldn't say I do, mainly because I feel like the coaches did as good a job as anyone could have done as respecting what I wanted to do as far as finishing my education at Stanford. And I feel like they really made an effort to bring me up to speed very quickly. And, you know, this is a football football. And you can plug in and play at a high level and have a high effort. And you can sometimes fake up for time.
What did it mean to you to get that Stanford education? Because that diploma from that institution is no small accomplishment as one of the most highly regarded colleges in the nation.
Well, it's funny because that's the thing I keep on hearing. But, you know, right now, I'm really not focused on it. I was focused on finishing that, but as far as anything else goes, I'm just focused on football. So maybe that'll help me somewhere along the way. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to go to Stanford and get my education. But, you know, it's all about football now.
Is there anything you've been doing to kind of make up for lost time, so to speak? Because I'm sure now you can bring your playbook tablet with you wherever you go, right?
I actually did let us bring the playbook with us, but anything that we wrote down during OTAs and mini camp, we have with us. And I took as many notes as I could, especially since I have been so.
Okay. Now, you, of course, were in Green Bay for mini camp, however, and there was that final practice where they gave veterans the day off, kind of allowing younger players on the team to get some extra reps. Did you find that day valuable?
I find every day valuable. You're out there with yourself. One thing, watch guys that guys like watch for. Guys like that actually that have themselves to be so valuable. They make it this point to show us how they go about the work. It's all about starting something new every day. So, get those reps and practice is useful, but starting from those guys that have been showing it for a very long time to keep on activity in the league are also valuable of experience.
Now, you're a guy that played both inside and outside linebacker in college. Are you focusing on one or the other with the Packers?
Well, after playing inside and outside in college, I've been mainly focused on playing outside linebacker. But, you know, you always want to know the entire defense, that you know how everything fits together like a puzzle. So, I mean, maybe there's a chance if I learn things that still let you do some other things. But right now, I'm focused on outside linebacker and really making a contribution to the team on special teams as well as on defense.
Okay, what have you been doing on special teams during mini camp? Have they had you on any of those units?
Mainly just getting used to the scheme and getting used to new techniques, because every team does their special teams differently. So you have to show some sort of initiative as sometimes you engage it to try and get in there whenever you can, whether it be a scout team, whether it be an actual rep physical. During that period. So they just try to get in there whenever you can, and when you're not, you're listening and trying to, you know, go through the mental gymnastics of learning the techniques.
How do you think playing at Stanford prepared you for the NFL? Because that's a program that's consistently had one of the best defenses in the nation in recent years.
Playing at Stanford, I'm very thankful to be playing in such a program at Stanford. That's the situation I wanted to put myself in when I chose to go there in the first place. And you know, you learn a certain way to do things that's successful when you're playing as high a level as the Pac-12 is in college football. You really become thankful for the way things are done, because you play teams like Oregon, USC, UCLA, Arizona State. Those teams are pretty good teams, and to get an opportunity to play college football at the highest level is just a blessing in itself.
Now, what should we know about your college teammate Ty Montgomery? What are the Packers getting in a player like him?
Oh, he's electrifying, especially on special teams. But he works hard, and he's always getting better and better. Playing wide receiver, he's one of the guys we always play to when we need a spark. So, you know, between those amazing plays he's made already on special teams and seeing him continue to grow as an athlete, as a player, by working hard and studying his techniques as a wide receiver, I can assure you he's a hard worker.
Well, that's good to hear. I think everybody's excited to see him on kick returns for sure. Are you aware of the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame induction this weekend of Brett Favre? Has that been on your radar at all?
I am now, but you know, I've been a little bit disconnected down here in Atlanta lately. I really think it's a great thing. I used to watch him play all the time too.
Well, hopefully we'll see you in the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame one day. Are you looking forward to training camp?
Yes, sir, I am.
Good. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you, James. We appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your day this morning to talk to us, and wish you all the best of luck when camp starts.
Thank you.
All right. Take care now. James Vaughters, rookie Packers linebacker, joining us this morning at Railbird Central on a Friday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well. Kind of realized that wasn't maybe the best quality phone call connection that we had there, but when he was coming through clear, kind of came in and out. It was good stuff. So anyway, we appreciate him taking the time nonetheless. It's always a special treat when we get a Packers player on the show here. So glad to talk to him. And we'll just continue on here with the rest of the show.
Packers news of the day.
Kind of the biggest news, I think, since our last episode on Wednesday morning when it aired. By the time Wednesday evening had come around, the big story was Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers being honored by the ESPYs, by ESPN, but aired on ABC, if you can understand that, in the category of best NFL player. And Rodgers beat out the likes of some competition. J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans, Tom Brady of the New England Patriots, DeMarco Murray of the Philadelphia Eagles, formerly the Dallas Cowboys, where he spent his 2014 season, and Antonio Brown of the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what I kind of thought was interesting is that Rodgers beat out J.J. Watt for this award, whereas it was Watt that beat out Aaron Rodgers just a week earlier on the Best Players of 2015 on the NFL Network. Now, the difference between the two is that the NFL Network show or series is voted upon by current NFL players, and the ESPYs are voted upon by pretty much anybody with an internet connection that cares enough to vote. I suppose players could vote in the ESPYs, but they're not limited to strictly players. So, I don't know how much credence you put into any of these. These are rather meaningless. The one thing that people probably put more stock into than anything is the one recognized by the NFL, and that is the MVP award from last season, which Rodgers won. That's voted upon by the media to get another classification. So there you go. Take it for what you will. Aaron Rodgers was presented the award by Brett Favre on the red carpet of the event. And that kind of sets the stage for the rest of the weekend here and kind of leads us into the next segment.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay, this Packers on Friday and the rest of the weekend, I guess I'll start with just talking about Aaron Rodgers here. Aaron Rodgers is taking part in the American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament this weekend. So while most of the golf world has their focus, their attention on the Open Championship taking place at St. Andrews in Scotland, I suppose attention reverts to stateside later in the day, whereas, you know, the golf action ends in the afternoon because it's taking place way out in Europe, and then the rest of the day can focus on golf in the United States, I suppose. But Aaron Rodgers has made quite the commitment to the American Century Championships. He took part in a practice round on Tuesday. On Wednesday, he had flown to the ESPYs to receive the ESPY Award. And by Thursday, he had flown back out to South Lake Tahoe, Nevada, where the event is taking place, to once again take part in a practice round, or they hold those pro-am tournaments on Thursday. And now on Friday, today, the event actually takes, you know, the competitive portion actually starts. So, and you can see him on television. Aaron Rodgers can be seen on the NBC Sports Network on Friday. I believe the coverage is from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Time, so figure that out for whatever time zone you live in. But also streamed online on the NBC's Golf Live Extra app or something like that. It's available from Apple and the Google Store or whatever. And competition continues, even though it's on the NBC Sports Network on Friday. It can be just viewed on the normal NBC channel on Saturday and Sunday as well. So some opportunities to see Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers this weekend. We'll see how good he is as a golfer. Kind of the last opportunity for him and pretty much every player to get in the last of their vacation time before the grind of training camp begins. Like I said, less than 2 weeks away. The start is on Thursday, July 30th. So they have to be in town in Green Bay by then. They are not required to be so until the eve of training camp when they have to report for physicals, things like that. They take care of some housekeeping duties the day before practice starts. But that's when it all begins, and it won't end for about 6 months after that as football season starts in earnest at the end of July. But what Aaron Rodgers taking part in a golf tournament means is that he won't be in attendance for Brett Favre's induction into the Packers Hall of Fame this Saturday evening. And the enshrinement ceremony takes place, and I'll share the details so as many people can see this as possible. As I understand, it can be seen in many ways. So if you live in the state of Wisconsin, you can see it on the Packers TV network. Basically, pretty much anywhere you live in the state, there will be a station in your market that will carry the Brett Favre enshrinement ceremony. Nationwide, it will be aired on the NFL Network. And then worldwide, it will also be streamed at Packers.com. So pretty much anywhere you live in the world, you are able to see this. Granted, you at least have to be connected to the internet to do so. But I looked at the NFL Network listings, and the time set aside is from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time when they will air the ceremony, the induction ceremony of Brett Favre. Now, from what I understand, as I look at the Packers website, it actually starts at like 7:05 p.m. Central Time. I don't know if that means the NFL Network is kind of tape delaying it an hour, or there's kind of just some introductory boring stuff that maybe they don't really air. You got to remember, this is kind of a banquet as well, in which, you know, the patrons are served a dinner. So maybe it's during that portion that they're not really airing on television. Also part of the ceremony, you'll remember, the Packers sold out the Lambeau Field Bowl for people to watch the ceremony take place. And Brett Favre is scheduled to appear in front of the crowd at 6:30 p.m. local time. If you happen to be going, that's when Brett Favre will actually meet the crowd. He'll address the crowd. For the ceremony itself, he'll go back inside the Lambeau Field atrium, and people inside the stadium can watch on the Jumbotron. To clear up any information, I saw some people on social media slightly confused. Yes, in addition to Brett Favre being enshrined in the Packers Hall of Fame this weekend, his number will officially be retired as of Saturday. His number 4 will never once again be, not that it was being used in these past few years either. The Packers wisely prevented any player from wearing number 4 so as not to live up to those expectations or receive the ire from people appalled that they could possibly give away his number 4. But yes, as of Saturday, technically his number will be retired, although his number won't be seen on the Lambeau Field's facade when it will be unveiled on Thanksgiving in that ceremony. I'm assuming at halftime. I don't know. Maybe it takes place before the game. I can't remember off the top of my head. But that is the game in which it'll be unveiled on the Lambeau Field facade, next to all the Packers' other retired numbers: Bart Starr, Ray Nitschke, Reggie White, Tony Cannadeo, Don Hutson. So that's officially retired as of Saturday, unveiled during the season, Thanksgiving, when the Packers take on the Bears, which, yes, Brett Favre will also be on hand for that during the season. So hopefully that clarifies any confusion. And from what I've seen in the media, the Packers Pro Shop adjacent or inside the Lambeau Field atrium is releasing a whole bunch of, you know, a line of Brett Favre gear. So if you want to wear number 4, you'll have an opportunity to do so. So I am sure the Lambeau Field atrium will be a buzzing place this weekend here as the inductions enshrinement ceremony takes place. And, you know, with Brett Favre being inducted into the Hall of Fame, my favorite memory of Brett Favre is his first game, because I happened to be there in person. And boy, it was 1992. And, you know, this had been the point where Mike Holmgren had just taken over the Packers, and the Packers had traded for Brett Favre, and they played the Cincinnati Bengals early in the season. And I'm young. I'm in elementary school. And this wasn't the first Packers game I ever attended, but it was maybe in the first handful of games I was ever at. But I remember it vividly because of what happened and because Brett Favre led that comeback coming into the game, replacing an injured Don Majkowski. So Brett Favre enters and the rest is history. From that point on, he didn't start that game, but he entered, and from that point on, Brett Favre would go on to start every game thereafter in the rest of his Packers career. Brett Favre led the comeback and the touchdown to, I'll never forget it, Kittrick Taylor, an otherwise probably anonymous player in Packers history. But he has the honor of catching Brett Favre's first touchdown pass in a regular season game, in a meaningful game, in a Packers uniform. And that was the go-ahead score that the Packers had that day. And that is my personal favorite memory of Brett Favre, because that's when it all began. And I can remember we have season tickets right on about the 5-yard line. And Taylor had scored right in front of us, or very close to us. I can remember him going. I can remember the pass being completed. I can remember Taylor getting into the end zone. And not only was it the beginning of Brett Favre's kind of reign as the Packers quarterback, it was also the beginning of the Packers, you know, basically becoming a year in and year out very, very good and strong franchise. You know, the Packers, since the 1960 Lombardi era, they had gone through a lull where maybe there's a winning season here and there. You know, the Packers made the playoffs once during the Bart Starr coaching era. In 1989, they had a winning record under Lindy Infante. But, I mean, it was few and far between for a stretch of about more than two decades there. The 70s, the 80s, and then the early, early 90s. And then 92, when Mike Holmgren and Brett Favre got together, you know, and it was the perfect storm. It wasn't just them. It was Ron Wolf being the architect of the team. It was the Packers acquiring Reggie White in free agency when nobody thought he would come to Green Bay. It was rather unexpected. But from that point forward, from 1992 onward, it's basically playoffs almost every season for the Packers. It's been rare. I can't even, you know, how many times have the Packers not made the playoffs since 1992? It's, you know, there's been a handful of times, but it's pretty much been domination from here on out. Of course, culminating in Super Bowl 31, you know, Brett Favre leading that Packers team and lots of good memories along the way. Of course, him playing the first game after the passing of his father, Irv Favre, on Monday Night Football against the Oakland Raiders is a great one, and I know one a lot of people cite. Super Bowl 31 itself, when the Packers and Favre threw that you know, touchdown pass to Andre Rison, and Favre takes off his helmet and he's just running around the field. These were special moments in the Packers organization, and ones I'm glad I got to witness on a football field. You know, I've been critical of Brett Favre as a person, but I'll let him have his day in the sun here. And I certainly recognize how great he was as a football player, and this is a special moment in the Packers organization and kind of the beginning here of what's to come, because, you know, he's being inducted this year into the Packers Hall of Fame. You can pretty much expect that next year he will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame when he first becomes eligible. I think most people think, I think 99.9% of people think that he is a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he is. Now, we're also talking about the league's, you know, all-time leader in interceptions thrown, but you also have to take a stat like that with a grain of salt. In order to throw so many interceptions, you also have to be good enough and have played long enough to accumulate that many. You know, if you're not good enough to see the field at all, you're not throwing interceptions. So I think the good far outweighs the bad with Brett Favre in terms of his playmaking ability. The guy who, you know, is known as the gunslinger, and his style was remarkable. There were very few players like him. You know, in an era where Dan Marino, Joe Montana were these tacticians, and not to say that Favre couldn't dissect a defense, but everybody remembers it's the improvised plays with Brett Favre and his absolute cannon of an arm. It's for my money the strongest arm I've ever seen, and I don't know how you quantify that if you sit there and you put him on a jugs machine or whatever. I suppose it depends on how long a pass is that you measure those kind of things, but just an absolute cannon of an arm, a guy who could move around the pocket and improvise plays. Those plays where he flips the ball underhand just to escape a rusher and make a play, they were all very, very fun to watch. So, like I said, a special moment here with Brett Favre being inducted into the Packers Hall of Fame, and something Packers fans can look back fondly upon here. So that kind of does our Brett Favre reminiscing portion of the program here. So enjoy the induction, no matter where you are as a Packer fan, whether you're watching online or on TV or wherever. That's available for you pretty much anywhere you live in the world on Saturday evening. So enjoy it. We'll see you back here on Monday, folks, as we kind of get rid of the portion of looking back at the past and more about looking ahead to the future, as we'll be days closer to the start of training camp and the start of football in Green Bay. So we'll see you then Monday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, as we have live editions of the show every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, on demand, podcasted later in the day. My call to action, this podcast is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing I ask, please give us a rating on iTunes or, you know, any other place for that matter. But helps us get the word out about the show, helps us get an even bigger and broader audience, which I think the show deserves. So we'd appreciate it if you do that. But we'll see you later, folks. See you on Monday. Enjoy the weekend in general. I leave you today with a song called, if I can find it here, The Surf by Lotus on Psy Fidelity Records. See you, everyone. Go Pack, go.